We wanted to see if potassium availability related to terrain attributes and landscape in this study. There have been some regional potassium deficiencies, especially in poorly drained soils in the Midwest and in southern Indiana. A couple reasons for this might be the fixation of potassium by soil clays. When charge is reduced in 2-to-1 clays, potassium is entrapped between clay layers. Another possibility would be leaching with the expansion of clay minerals, and especially in a less parent material. In this case, at our study site, there's a pretty low CEC for these soils, so leaching might be a possibility. And we really want to better understand how pedogenic processes relate to soil fertility. This could lead to better understanding terrain attributes and soil fertility relationships. And there's a potential for using terrain attributes derived from digital elevation models for characterizing fertility management zones. Now, the levels of potassium plant availability are usually thought of in terms of solution K, which is very easily available. Plants get it directly. But because it's so easily available, it's quickly taken up, and there's usually a very small amount in soils. There's exchangeable potassium, which is potassium on the exchange sites of clay minerals and clay organic matter. This is usually estimated by or measured by running a salt solution across the soil to rinse the potassium from exchange sites, and then analyze the amount of potassium in the soil solution. And non-exchangeable potassium is still plant available. That's another level of plant availability, but it's not as easily available, and it's more thought of in terms of long-term availability. So the method for this is, or a good method for this is to use a tetraphenylboron solution, and that solution acts as a sink for potassium. It creates a diffusion gradient between the soil and the solution, which slowly pulls out potassium from the inner layers of clay minerals or from other places. And non-exchangeable represents kind of a long-term plant available potassium. And of course, mineral potassium is unavailable until it's weathered. So in this study, we want to take a look at exchangeable potassium and non-exchangeable potassium and to see how they're related to soil drainage and wetness, soil wetness. So our drainage catena is in southeastern Indiana. It is in the Miskatatuck Uplands region, which is this shaded region here. It consists of four soils, ranging from Cobb's Fork on the flat upland, poorly drained upland, to Cincinnati and Nab on the bevel. Now, these bevel soils are moderately well drained. The area is very, the study site is very flat. The change in elevation is about 5 meters from the center of the site to the edge of the site. And you can see here the white dots indicate boring points where we took soil observations at three depths. So we ended up with 384 soil samples, and we analyzed them for potassium. Now, the site has had uniform potassium applications for the past 20 years. It's been in no-till for about 10 years. The soils differ only by drainage, and there's no tile drainage in the field. So the soils, like I say, Cincinnati is moderately well drained on the bevel. That's the soil on the left. And Cobb's Fork is the poorly drained upland soil. Both soils have fragipan features at roughly 100 centimeters. And you can see the fragipan prisms at the bottom. And the fragipan restricts to a great extent infiltration. So that's part of the reason why you have these gray colors in the Cobb's Fork, because the reduction of iron causes the iron to leach out, and so you have some gray colors. We sampled at three depths, the 5 centimeter, 30 centimeter, and 60 centimeter depths, which are approximately the depths of the AP the E and the BT horizons for these soils. The parent materials are Wisconsin and Luss in the upper 1 meter with the silt loam texture. Then we have a mixture below that of the Luss and the lower paleosol developed in Illinois and till. And the mixture is partly due to this Procambrus species, which some of you might have had for dinner this week, the crawdads or crayfish, crawfish as they're called down here. And so the mixture consists of sand and silt loam with an increase in sand, but it also has a silt loam texture. And then the paleosol under that, marked by an increase in sand and clay and loam and clay loam textures. The terrain attributes are used to quantify the landscape, and we used three terrain attributes in the study: elevation, slope, and the topographical wetness index. Now, the wetness index, slope is pretty familiar to people, but the wetness index is new to some of us. It's the log of the upslope contributing area for a given pixel on an elevation model divided by the tangent of the slope. And this gives us an indication of where wet spots might be in the landscape. So high TWI corresponds to flat areas, or because slope is in the denominator, and also areas of convergent overland flow, such as drainage ways. And we want to see if the TWI is related to the soil potassium at the site. And you can see the site is in the lower right hand, this blue box here. So the site indicate, or it spans to, it starts in a flat area and goes to the two bevels, and the two bevels are fairly dry. So we took 384 georeference samples, and we wanted to know if the different soil mapping units and drainage classes related to differences in potassium availability. And we wanted to see if the differences in potassium could be predicted with terrain analysis. So this is the data that we used. On the left, you see the non-exchangeable potassium at each of the boring, each of the sites, the borings. And on the left, you see the upper horizon, then the 25 to 35 centimeter depth, and then the 55 to 65 centimeters. And just looking at it, you can see that the non-exchangeable, this was a 7-day tetraphenyl boron extraction. It appears that, well, the larger the dot, obviously, the more potassium. So you can see that potassium, it looks like it's higher at both ends of the field. And then when we look at the exchangeable potassium, you see a similar pattern. Of course, the exchangeable gets, there's with depth, there's less exchangeable. But with non-exchangeable, as you go deeper, there is actually more potassium. So when we look at the ratio between the two, non-exchangeable to exchangeable, something pops out, and that is in the second depth, or the expected E horizon, you see much higher values than you do in the first and third. So if we're looking for places where, or depth at which we might see some potassium fixation, that would be the depth to look for it. Now, the models from terrain analysis, we built these models using relationships between terrain analysis and the potassium. So we see exchangeable potassium here. It seems to be higher at the north and south ends of the fields. At the first depth, the second depth also, and the third depth, but not as strongly. And here's the non-exchangeable, again, accumulations at the north and south ends of the fields. The statistical procedure for coming up with the model and for comparing the different potassium relationships between terrain and mapping units is a linear model with correlated residuals. We make comparisons with the Bonferroni method, And we had to correct for spatial autocorrelation because there's a lot of autocorrelation in these samples. So we used a three-dimensional anisotopic structure to model the variance. And you can see that the structure for the variance includes I, J, and K, which are distance measures for latitude, longitude, and depth, so that the variance changes depending on the estimate of the variance changes depending on the distance between samples, and also there's a rotation factor so that the search direction is accounted for as well. So the results, we found that the exchangeable potassium is related significantly to the topographic wetness index. Surprisingly, it's not related to slope. Potassium is related to elevation. Exchangeable potassium is related to elevation. And generally, it's higher in the better drained soils at all depths. Non-exchangeable potassium is strongly related to TWI at all depths. It's not related to slope. It's related to extremes in elevation. And it's higher in better drained soils at all depths. And the ratio between non-exchangeable and exchangeable is strongly related to elevation, not related to TWI or slope. It's higher in the second depth, and it's higher in poorly drained and somewhat poorly drained soils. So really what we saw was strong relationships between the terrain and the potassium. Thanks. Yes.
Hi. You talk about the relationship of potassium to the topographic parameters.
Yes.
I noticed that you said this field has been in no material. It suggests to me it's also not a mere vegetation.
Yes. Well, I would expect higher yields at the north and south ends because the soils are better drained and there's a higher concentration of all nutrients that we looked at the north and south ends.
Do you have any yield mapping?
We have 2 years of yield monitoring data, which is it's not very good data. I mean, it's spotty and it's not full coverage. It's kind of choppy. I was very disappointed because I knew we had it, and then when we looked at it, it wasn't very useful.
Our observation has been that long-term no-till like these fields come about 2 years.
Yeah.
All of our high soil comes from the pier, and it comes from the lowest. And in fact, in some situations, with drought stress, we get only 50% of the yield on the well-drained soil. We get a soil that needs to have a deeper bed, and not going to put it in a shallow block to the bed down to that one.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. You know, if you have higher nutrients, that means the plants aren't using it. So.
I mean, it's still correlated to the topographic parameters, but the driving force for the difference is potassium and slope may not at all be topographic driving force, just to probably come back to plant extraction.
Driving moisture availability, which.
Yield nutrient removal.
Yeah, that could be part of it.
I'm
sure.
Sorry, you don't have better yield
monitoring. Yeah, I know.
Thank you very much.